A noted activist in Western Massachusetts has died. Michael Ann Busey spent more than 30 years as a community organizer advocating against poverty and war and for environmental policies to combat climate change. She was 71. Busey helped found Arise for Social Justice in Springfield in 1985 during a state budget battle over welfare benefits. As she prepared to retire as director of the organization last October, Busey spoke with WAMC's Pioneer Valley Bureau Chief Paul Tuthill. And you were one of the founders of this organization 30-some years ago. Tell us a little bit about how it started.
Well, we met in 1985 when Governor King was at war with the legislature on the state budget, and that meant that people who were on public assistance were not getting their checks. And I called an organization in Boston, Coalition for Basic Human Needs, said, what can you do for us out here? And there wasn't much, but they gave me the names of, I can't remember if it was three or four other women who had also called them that were from Western Mass. So I called them up and we got together, and that was the very beginning of Arise.
And you were on welfare at the time, and the other people who you called to help organize this also were in the same were also on public assistance.
We were all on public assistance at that time, and then over the next few years, we left public assistance and got jobs and discovered we were still poor, so we changed our definition of ourselves from a welfare rights organization to a poor people's organization.
And when did the name Arise for Social Justice, when did that happen?
That was in the very first year. We figured that out. Nobody remembers quite who. We'd all like to take credit, but somehow the name emerged.
And you've been executive director for the last 10 years, and now you're stepping down.
I am, and you know, I want to spend my remaining years with Arise as an organizer, which is what I love the most and what got me into this in the first place. So we're hiring a new person, and I'm sure that person will have energy and youth and lots of skills to bring to the organization. So, you know, I have high hopes for our future.
Now, I can think of some very prominent campaigns that Arise has been involved in, but what I know this is sort of like asking you to name your favorite child, but tell me, give me some of the highlights of what you see as some of the significant things Arise has done.
Well, you know, I would have to say ward representation. Getting ward representation in Springfield was probably the largest area where we made real systemic change and went from a pretty much all-white city council to a council that looks like the residents of Springfield. It took a lot of years, but we did it. I guess after that I'd have to say the sanctuary city that we had after the city closed a shelter, which did force the city to become much more responsive to the needs of homeless people.
And that was when you sent set the tents up on in front of St. Michael's, right?
Yeah, that's right. You know, the first night that shelter closed, people didn't know where to go. The next day they came to us. And again, somewhere this idea of like, well, churches have to give you sanctuary, don't they? So that's when we picked St. Michael's and went down after 5 o'clock and set up the first tents, and then it grew.
And I know the organization's been very much involved with lately with environmental activism and climate change. Obviously, these are new issues, relatively new issues that have come to the fore. Talk a little bit about the activism in those areas.
Well, I think our first realization was that Springfield had no climate change plan. And like, how could this be? Boston had one, even Worcester had one in some of the smaller cities, but you know, we're the third largest city in the state and we didn't have one. In spite of the fact that we do have some incredible resources in the city. So we worked for 3 years to get the city to acknowledge the need. Then the city had a funding opportunity because of the tornado and the ice storm in October. And they applied for and received some money to develop a plan. Then we were involved with creating that plan. Then it was pushing the city to hire someone to administer the plan. Otherwise, it would have just been pieces of paper. So that has all been a big accomplishment, but there's so much more work to do in that area. And that's one of the things that I would really like to focus on when I don't have to be director anymore.
Aside from the public campaigns and the activism that is very visible, Arise does a lot of work behind the scenes with individuals. I know whenever I've come here to the office, there are people out here who are here looking for help. And talk a little bit about that work that Arise does.
You know, it's very satisfying. You know, people say, what does Arise do? And somebody might say, oh, you help people. Well, we do help people. Our real job, though, is to change the things that make people need the help in the first place. But people come here when they haven't been able to get a response from other very well-funded agencies and organizations, or when they've been turned away from shelter. We can't solve everybody's problem because a lot of it is really systemic, lack of affordable housing, lack of child care. The job situation has improved, and I'm glad about that. But, you know, there are a lot of people with disabilities that can't work and still need affordable housing. But, you know, it's always a thrill to me when someone might come back. This happened the other day. I didn't even recognize her, I'm sorry to say, but she came in, she said, remember me, I was here 4 years ago, you helped me get into a shelter, and from there I got an apartment, and then I went back to school, and now I'm a phlebotomist, and I'm working at Bay State, and, you know, I just want to thank you for everything. And, you know, what can you say? Stuff like that makes you feel pretty good.
Has life for people in on the lower end of the scale, on the low income scale, has life for them improved in the city of Springfield, would you say?
I'm going to be honest with you and say no. You know, the thing is, our most successful campaigns, and I will leave out Sanctuary City because, you know, the city needed to address homelessness. They didn't want homeless people to be visible. But our most successful campaigns have been the campaigns that have benefited everyone in the city, whether they knew it or not, like stopping the biomass plant, getting ward representation, getting a climate change plan. If it's only about poor people, it's much harder for that change to come about. And in fact, people don't like to think of themselves as poor, but 43% of all the people in Springfield, all the households, have less than $25,000 a year in income. And when you have a situation like that, I would say all of those people are at risk of homelessness, and many do experience homelessness. So, no, I don't think the overall situation for poor people is improved in Springfield or anywhere in this country.
Does that discourage you? I mean, this has been your life, your career. Is it discouraging that there hasn't been this improvement?
Well, it is discouraging, but there's absolutely nothing that we can do about it except continue organizing. And you know, and that's what we do. We have staff that works on developing better housing and that helps people get into shelter, or helps apply for food stamps. So we do what we can do. We'll never give up. I have to say the national climate is not lending itself to, you know, real understanding and assistance for poor people. Massachusetts does better than a lot of other states. I can't deny that. But we can do better. And discouraging, yes, but not enough to make us want to give up.